It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood, and coming up, how old people will save the world. But first, when it comes to protecting animals, there are some that are an easy sell to the public. The ones with melodic songs, furry skin, bright colors, or majestic size. But that leaves out most fish. The brothers Doug and Tim Watts want to protect a fish with a slimy reputation, the American eel. They want it placed on the endangered species list. From member station WNPR in Hartford, Nancy Cohen explains why.
40-year-old Doug Watts says when he and his big brother Tim were growing up in Easton, Massachusetts, the woods and streams were their playground.
We could come home covered with mud. We could come home with snakes, with turtles, with frogs, with bugs, you name it.
And eels. They used eels as bait to catch striped bass on Cape Cod. And Tim recalls the time he and Doug saw an eel unlike any other they'd seen before. They were fishing in a pond with their father, and they noticed some fishing tackle floating by.
We said, "Hey, Dad, look at that bobber over there. Let's go grab it." So we pulled up our lines and went paddling over there, and he hauled it up, and there was this great big eel that, you know, was probably 3 feet long.
And it was black,
too. You know, it was almost coal black.
Yeah, and it was, you know, probably as big around as your arm.
They cut the line and let the eel go, but the impression it made stayed with them. Today, Doug's a writer with the Atlantic Salmon Journal in Maine and fights to protect migrating fish. Tim, a former Marine, is a janitor by night and keeps an eye on the eels by day. One place he checks on them is not far from his home, the Wewiantic River in Wareham, Massachusetts.
A couple days ago, this place was loaded with them up here. All these little pockets in the rocks would be full of these little clumps of eels, and I see very few up here now. I have a funny feeling someone's been up here poaching them.
Tim says fishing for the American eel is one reason its numbers are declining. Eels are considered a culinary delicacy, and demand from Asia and Europe has pushed up the price. Young eels are going for $275 a pound this spring in Maine, and they face other threats, including contaminants in rivers and loss of wetland habitat. 6 months ago, the Watts brothers filed a petition with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asking that the American eel be listed as endangered. Experts are also concerned. A year ago, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission issued a statement saying the government should consider the American eel a candidate for listing under the Endangered Species Act. A defining moment for the Watts brothers came 9 years ago when they found a mass of migrating eels stuck below this old mill dam on the Wewiantic River. The brothers spent several nights netting them and moving them over the dam.
If they have to sit below this dam for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a month, you get a huge amount of mortality through predators that you wouldn't otherwise get if they had free passage upstream.
Every spring, Tim sees the same thing, one-year-old American eels that can't get past this dam. They're only a little bigger than a toothpick and spend a lot of time hiding from predators like fish, crabs, and birds.
And you turn over a rock, and from under the rock, they all go squiggling away.
Tim gently picks one up. At this age, the eels are like tiny glass snakes with big black eyes.
That looks like that's a spine running right through there. They're so transparent, you can look right through the top of their head and see their little brain and everything in there.
They may appear fragile, but these young eels are determined. Some will slither through cracks and crevices and dams, up rivers to ponds where they live for decades. The American eel has a huge range, from Brazil to Greenland. In North America, they live in the Northeast, the South, the Midwest, and the Maritime provinces. They only spawn once and then die. All are born and migrate from the same place, the clear waters of the Sargasso Sea near Bermuda, including the one Tim is holding.
That little guy came about, I don't know, a couple thousand miles through the ocean to get here. His mother could have came out of a river. Oh, who knows where. Could have came out of the Rio Grande River. Could have came out of the Missouri River up in South Dakota. Could have came from this river. There's no telling where it came from. It's kind of amazing.
Tim and his brother Doug are fascinated with this animal, but sickened by the obstacles humans have thrown in its way. Doug Watts recalls one fall 5 years ago when he saw what he thought were vacuum cleaner hoses tangled below a hydroelectric dam.
The bottom was littered with them, and some of these were almost as long as my leg, and they were all chopped up.
They were sexually mature female eels heading downstream to the ocean to spawn, but the turbines of a hydropower dam stopped them. Doug says dam operators should give eels a way to get by. He's gone so far as to leave dead eels on the doorstep of the powerhouse of one dam and has brought buckets of dead eels to the Maine Department of Marine Resources.
You can't be causing these fish kills. You just can't be grinding up these female eels while they're going to spawn for once in their life. They're 40-year, you know, some of these eels are older than me. They came up these rivers in the 1950s, you know. Without mothers, there's not going to be any babies, and the number being killed is frightening.
On the Wanquinco River in Wareham, Doug and Tim walk along a fish ladder designed to help some migrating fish get over a dam, but it's not much help for young eels. The two brothers stand with their heads bowed, eyes probing the water.
There's a whole bunch of them tucked in that little corner by the right at the entrance to the fishway. There's a big, almost like a great big ball of them. They're trying to hide in the corner there.
Yeah.
The eels are wriggling like dancers doing a fast shimmy, trying to make it upstream. Tim decides to give them a hand. He takes off his shoes and drops into the water.
Too bad this is radio. You can't see my nice legs.
He scoops up a net full of these living noodles and, with Doug beside him, carries them over the dam, which is against state law, and drops them into the water.
Here's the illegality. Henry David Thoreau and civil disobedience.
We got 100 million left to go.
The brothers want the government to take over the protection of this fish and cradle it inside the laws of the Endangered Species Act. They're still waiting to find out if their petition will be approved. Regardless of the outcome, Tim and Doug Watts will continue to do what they can to save the American eel. For Living on Earth, I'm Nancy Cohen in Wareham, Massachusetts.